Érettségi vizsga angol nyelvből. Hallott szöveg értése középszint.
Welcome to the listening component of the Matura examination. The listening material and the instructions are recorded on this CD, and the tasks and instructions are printed in your test booklet. There will be three tasks, and every recording will be played twice. The tasks will begin with some music, and then you will hear, and you can also read, the instructions to the task. This will be followed by a silent period on the CD, in order to give you some time to look at the task in your test booklet before hearing the text. Then we will play the recording in one piece. After another short silent period, we will play the recording for the second time, but now in shorter sections and with breaks between the sections in order to give you enough time to write down your answers. Please note that the first item in each task, marked with a tick, is always an example. The whole test is exactly 30 minutes long. Good luck. Task 1. In this section, you will hear a true story about a rescue dog called Duke. Your task is to decide whether the following statements are true, false, or we do not know because the text does not say, and write the appropriate letter in the boxes on the right. Write A if the statement is true, write B if the statement is false, and write C if the text does not say. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, you will hear the recording again, but this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. A means true. B means false. C means the text does not say. Now look at the task in your booklet. Now listen to the recording.
I want you to love me like my dog.
A couple from Portland, Connecticut, Jenna and her husband Tom, adopted an ordinary-looking rescue dog 6 years ago from an animal shelter. They named him Duke. At the time, they didn't know this would be the best decision of their life. 2 weeks ago, Jenna and Tom had already gone to bed when Duke jumped on their bed and began shaking uncontrollably. Duke's behavior immediately woke the couple up. Duke had never acted like this before, so they knew something had to be wrong. When they went into their 9-week-old daughter's room to check on her, the baby was hardly breathing. Tom called the ambulance at once, and the paramedics arrived within 10 minutes. They actually had to revive the baby before she was taken to hospital. Jenna said, "If Duke hadn't been so scared, we would have just gone to sleep. He's the perfect dog." Jenna and her husband think this incident will help in encouraging other people to adopt rescue dogs and give them a new lease of life.
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
I want you to love me like my dog.
A couple from Portland, Connecticut, Jenna and her husband Tom, adopted an ordinary-looking rescue dog 6 years ago from an animal shelter. They named him Duke. At the time, they didn't know this would be the best decision of their life. Two weeks ago, Jenna and Tom had already gone to bed when Duke jumped on their bed and began shaking uncontrollably. Duke's behavior immediately woke the couple up. Duke had never acted like this before, so they knew something had to be wrong. When they went into their 9-week-old daughter's room to check on her, the baby was hardly breathing. Tom called the ambulance at once, and the paramedics arrived within 10 minutes. They actually had to revive the baby before she was taken to hospital. Jenna said, "If Duke hadn't been so scared, we would have just gone to sleep. He's the perfect dog." Jenna and her husband think this incident will help in encouraging other people to adopt rescue dogs and give them a new lease of life.
That is the end of task one. Task two. In this section, you are going to hear a true story about Muhammad Ali, the famous boxer. Your task is to give short answers to the questions below using the exact words you hear. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again, but this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. Now look at the task in your booklet. Now listen to the recording.
If you are interested in boxing, it's no secret to you that perhaps the most famous boxer of all time was born Cassius Clay, and that he changed his name to Muhammad Ali. It happened in 1964, shortly after he won the World Heavyweight Championships and joined a religious movement called the Nation of Islam. You might also know that in 1974, just before the George Foreman fight, Ali stated that he could float like a butterfly and sting like a bee, and George Foreman wouldn't be able to hit him because his hands can't hit what his eyes can't see. However, very few people know what made this boxing genius become a boxer. It was October 1954, and Ali, who was still known as Cassius Clay, was the proud owner of a red bicycle. It was a Christmas gift from his dad. At the time, Ali was 12 years old, and he and his friend decided to visit a charity sale in the Columbia Auditorium. They left their bikes in front of the building. After eating the free hot dogs and popcorn available for visitors of the Louisville Home Show, they went back to get their bicycles, only to discover that Muhammad Ali's had been stolen. Someone took pity on the crying boy and told him there was a police officer called Joe Martin in the basement of the Columbia Auditorium, so Ali went down and found Joe Martin in the local gym. Joe Martin was not only a police officer, but also a boxing coach. Ali immediately went up to him, explained his situation, and told him that he would beat up whoever stole his bike. Joe Martin looked at the skinny kid up and down and advised, "You'd better learn to fight before you start fighting." After helping Ali fill out a police report, Martin handed him an application form to join the club. 6 weeks later, Ali won his very first fight on local TV. Joe Martin would go on to teach Ali the basics of the game, and together they won 6 Kentucky Golden Glove titles, 2 National Amateur Athletic Union titles, and eventually won a gold medal in the 1960 Rome Olympics. Of course, Ali never got his bike back, but if he ever actually met the thief, he'd probably shake his hand.
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
This here's the story of Cassius Clay, who changed his name to Muhammad Ali. He knows how to talk and he...
If you are interested in boxing, it's no secret to you that perhaps the most famous boxer of all time was born Cassius Clay, and that he changed his name to Muhammad Ali. It happened in 1964, shortly after he won the World Heavyweight Championships and joined a religious movement called the Nation of Islam. You might also know that in 1974, just before the George Foreman fight, Ali stated that he could float like a butterfly and sting like a bee, and George Foreman wouldn't be able to hit him because his hands can't hit what his eyes can't see. However, very few people know what made this boxing genius become a boxer. It was October 1954, and Ali, who was still known as Cassius Clay, was the proud owner of a red bicycle. It was a Christmas gift from his dad. At the time, Ali was 12 years old, and he and his friend decided to visit a charity sale in the Columbia Auditorium. They left their bikes in front of the building. After eating the free hot dogs and popcorn available for visitors of the Louisville Home Show, they went back to get their bicycles, only to discover that Muhammad Ali's had been stolen. Someone took pity on the crying boy and told him there was a police officer called Joe Martin in the basement of the Columbia Auditorium, so Ali went down and found Joe Martin in the local gym. Joe Martin was not only a police officer, but also a boxing coach. Ali immediately went up to him, explained his situation, and told him that he would beat up whoever stole his bike. Joe Martin looked at the skinny kid up and down and advised, "You'd better learn to fight before you start fighting." After helping Ali fill out a police report, Martin handed him an application form to join the club. 6 weeks later, Ali won his very first fight on local TV. Joe Martin would go on to teach Ali the basics of the game, and together they won 6 Kentucky Golden Glove titles, 2 National Amateur Athletic Union titles, and eventually won a gold medal in the 1960 Rome Olympics. Of course, Ali never got his bike back, but if he ever actually met the thief, he'd probably shake his hand.
That is the end of Task 2. Task 3. In this section, you are going to hear an Australian tourist guide from Melbourne promoting an interesting program to some tourists. Your task is to write the letter of the correct answer into the boxes on the right. First, you will have some time to study the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again, but this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. Now look at the task in your booklet. Now listen to the recording.
Penguins, attention! Penguins, begin!
Right flipper! Left flipper!
Have you ever seen...
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Australia. My name is Bill Jones, and I'm a tourist guide here in Melbourne. We don't often have visitors from Hungary, and I don't know too much about your country, but I guess you do not have many kangaroos or penguins over there, right? You're going to spend a week here, so let me recommend a perfect one-day program called Phillip Island Penguin Parade. Phillip Island is 26 kilometres long and 9 kilometres wide, and is about 140 kilometres southeast of Melbourne. 60% of the island is farmland, devoted to grazing of sheep and cattle. However, the penguins are the real attraction. Put up your hand if you like penguins. See? No matter who you are, Everyone loves seeing these little fellows walk along the beach. Our tour starts at 9 o'clock. A minibus picks you up right here in front of this hotel. We start by heading to Maru Wildlife Park, which is about 100 kilometres from Melbourne, so we'll be there at around 11 o'clock. In Maru Wildlife Park, you can make friends with some furry Australian favourites. You'll have a chance to cuddle a baby wombat, hand-feed the kangaroos, and get up close and friendly with koalas and other native wildlife. We'll spend 2 hours in this lovely park, after which we'll have lunch in the famous Maru restaurant. We then continue our tour and travel over the bridge onto Phillip Island, known for its natural beauty, sandy beaches, rugged cliffs, and unique wildlife experiences. We'll arrive at Woolamai Beach at around 3 o'clock. Here you can check out the giant waves and take a swim. Then take a relaxed walk at the Nobby's Boardwalk to view the majestic rocky coast home to a colony of fur seals. At about 6 o'clock, you can enjoy dinner in one of the luxurious restaurants near the entrance of the Penguin Parade Visitor Centre. And finally, we'll enter the Penguin Parade Visitor Centre. By then, it will be sunset, the best time to view the world's smallest penguins emerge from the sea and waddle ashore. It's a truly magical and unforgettable procession. A couple of things to remember. This tour is not suitable for children under 14. Don't forget to wear strong walking shoes. Also, make sure you bring along a hat, your swimsuit or swimming trunks, a towel and sunscreen. Naturally, you can take your camera along, but in order to protect the little penguins, filming or taking pictures are not allowed at the Penguin Parade. The $90 price includes an experienced tour guide, lunch, and the entry fees to Maru Wildlife Park and to the Penguin Parade. The dinner in the visitor centre is not included in the price. If you are interested in our tour, please book now or tomorrow at the latest, because our minibus can only take 24 passengers. Oh, I almost forgot. Get travel insurance at least 1 day in advance, because you must show it to your tour guide before the journey starts. The receptionists here in this hotel will show you where you can buy it. Enjoy your holiday in Melbourne, and I hope to see you at the world-famous Penguin Parade.
Penguins, attention! Penguins, dismissed!
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
Penguins, attention! Penguins begin!
Right flipper, left flipper! Have you
ever seen... Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Australia. My name is Bill Jones and I'm a tourist guide here in Melbourne. We don't often have visitors from Hungary, and I don't know too much about your country, but I guess you do not have many kangaroos or penguins over there, right? You're going to spend a week here, so let me recommend a perfect one-day program called Phillip Island Penguin Parade. Phillip Island is 26 kilometres long and 9 kilometres wide, and is about 140 kilometres southeast of Melbourne. 60% of the island is farmland devoted to grazing of sheep and cattle. However, the penguins are the real attraction. Put up your hand if you like penguins. See? No matter who you are, everyone loves seeing these little fellows walk along the beach. Our tour starts at 9 o'clock. A minibus picks you up right here in front of this hotel. We start by heading to Maru Wildlife Park, which is about 100 kilometres from Melbourne, so we'll be there at around 11 o'clock. In Maru Wildlife Park, you can make friends with some furry Australian favourites. You'll have a chance to cuddle a baby wombat, hand-feed the kangaroos, and get up close and friendly with koalas and other native wildlife. We'll spend 2 hours in this lovely park, after which we'll have lunch in the famous Maru restaurant. We then continue our tour and travel over the bridge onto Phillip Island, known for its natural beauty, sandy beaches, rugged cliffs, and unique wildlife experiences. We'll arrive at Woolamai Beach at around 3 o'clock. Here you can check out the giant waves and take a swim. Then take a relaxed walk at the Nobby's Boardwalk to view the majestic rocky coast home to a colony of fur seals. At about 6 o'clock, you can enjoy dinner in one of the luxurious restaurants near the entrance of the Penguin Parade Visitor Centre. And finally, we'll enter the Penguin Parade Visitor Centre. By then, it will be sunset, the best time to view the world's smallest penguins emerge from the sea and waddle ashore. It's a truly magical and unforgettable procession. A couple of things to remember. This tour is not suitable for children under 14. Don't forget to wear strong walking shoes. Also, make sure you bring along a hat, your swimsuit or swimming trunks, a towel and sunscreen. Naturally, you can take your camera along, but in order to protect the little penguins, filming or taking pictures are not allowed at the Penguin Parade. The $90 price includes an experienced tour guide, lunch, and the entry fees to Maru Wildlife Park and to the Penguin Parade. The dinner in the visitor centre is not included in the price. If you are interested in our tour, please book now or tomorrow at the latest, because our minibus can only take 24 passengers. Oh, I almost forgot. Get travel insurance at least 1 day in advance, because you must show it to your tour guide before the journey starts. The receptionists here in this hotel will show you where you can buy it. Enjoy your holiday in Melbourne, and I hope to see you at the world-famous Penguin Parade.
Penguins, attention! Penguins dismissed!
Listen.
That is the end of Task 3, and also the end of the listening exam.